Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It's a privilege to be worshiping with you this morning. And if you are our guest, we are especially glad that you're here this morning. At the center of the aisle is a registration pad, and we invite everyone and all to fill that in and pass it back towards the center so we can have a record of your attendance. Our fall classes will be beginning soon, here in just a couple of weeks on Tuesday, August the 30th. At 6, Reverend Mary and Reverend Chase's classes will begin. Reverend Mary will be teaching on United Methodist history, and Reverend Chase will be teaching on the book of Jeremiah. On September the 7th, we will begin our men's Bible class, and on September the 11th, we'll begin the women's Bible class. And in your bulletin, you will find a section down towards the bottom for you to place a check mark on what class you would like to take and a place for your name. After you've filled that out, if you'll tear that off and then place it in the offering plate, we will be able to have a record of who would like to attend. We are still collecting funds for our new van. We have about $25,000 left to go, and if everyone could give just a little bit more, then we will be able to reach the goal. And thank you to all who have given. We are almost there. And today at noon is our UMW Summer Circle Luncheon. And it will be in the warehouse, and they have a special speaker coming who will be talking with us. And so whether you're a member for a long time or you've never been before, you are invited to attend. And also, Asbury Cleanup Day will be this Saturday from 9 to noon, so if you're able to come and pitch in a hand, we would appreciate that. And now we will see a short video for Change for Change.
Want to do a magic trick? You can make a dollar stretch around the world. Every dollar put in the offering plate at your church breaks into 100 pennies. Those pennies travel all over the planet to help other people. 2 cents of every dollar you give supports what United Methodists call apportionments. The apportioned funds travel all over the world to build churches, teach pastors, send missionaries to tell people about Jesus, send students to college, and much, much more. The apportionment system makes those two little pennies huge. Another 6 cents goes to what United Methodists call designated gifts, the advance, world service special gifts, and church-wide special Sundays with offerings. 7 more pennies help people in our district, annual conference, and jurisdiction. You or someone you know may have benefited from a confirmation rally, a church camp, leadership training, or a new church start. So, what happens to the other 85 pennies? They stay at home, right in your own church. Because of those pennies, you have a place to worship, a pastor and other people to lead, hymnals for singing, Sunday school books for learning, fun things to do in vacation Bible school, and much, much more.
Now that we've seen that video, you will find containers out in the narthex or also in the Wilson Activity Center, and you are encouraged to give through the rest of this month. And now I invite you to stand and pass the peace of Christ with one another. If you are able to stand, I invite you to stand with me and join in our call to worship, which is printed for you in the bulletin. Come and see what God has done. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord.
Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven.
Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, on page 103.
Oh, yeah.
I invite you to join with me in the affirmation of faith, which is also printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. invite the third graders forward for the presentation of their Bibles.
I'm going to actually call y'all up one at a time and have your families come up with you.
Okay.
Okay. Paxton Byers.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Stay right here.
Eva Orr.
Congratulations.
And Meredith Parker.
Congratulations.
This is one of the most exciting days in children's ministries. Is for our new third graders to receive their Bibles. Congregation, in your bulletin, if you will pull out your liturgy, then we will be able to proceed.
Today we celebrate a special event, the presentation of Bibles to you, our third graders. The Bible is a very special book because it contains the story of God. The very story of God and the persons who loved and followed God. As the church, we believe this story is an important one for you to hear and experience as you explore, learn, and discover your Bible. We hope that you will not only be reading of happenings long ago in a faraway land, but will also begin to see yourselves as God's people in today's world. Awesome. Thank you. Parents, will you assist these children in your homes, guiding them as they study, sharing your understanding of the story of faith, and giving them the opportunity to benefit together in Christian education programs?
Yes. We take seriously our responsibility for helping children as they encounter the Bible. With God's guidance, we will lead them, share with them, and provide them with learning.
We too have the privilege and responsibility to share our faith stories and support these persons as they learn and grow. We pray for God's guidance as we help them belong and serve as Christians. Loving God, we give thanks for the Bible, your gift to be used for our learning. Help us to hear those words, understand them, and be changed by them, so that in your time, we may become more like Jesus Christ. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right. If all of our children will come forward for the children's moments. Well, good morning. How was the first week?
Great.
No homework? Oh, you love homework. Well, isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that y'all had an amazing week. So I have a question this morning. Have you heard the term, you judge the book by its cover? Have you heard that? You know how sometimes you might go to the library and you look at the book and you might go, and sometimes the title kind of throws you for a loop or it might throw you off sometimes, or you go, that makes me interested in what's inside. Have you ever done that? When you have to go look for a book? We know sometimes what happens is that we may see the outside of people, but it's really what the inside is what we really need to know, right? They may not be like what we want. They may not wear the same clothes, or they may not say the right thing, or they don't eat the right food. But you know what? What's most important? Is what's on the inside. And so I want you to think about that as you're going through school, because you're meeting your new classes, right? And you have new friends. Yes. And so sometimes we may not get along with people, but we have to look at what's on the inside than what's necessarily on the outside. That's right. But you know what also is important about today? Is what happens this morning. Where do you go? To your new classes, that's right. So not only have you had new classes for school, but we're going to have new Sunday school classes also. And so today I want to pray not only for you, But I want to pray for our Sunday school teachers. I want to pray for our administrators, the staff at school, for our youth leaders, for our ACCDC, which is our preschool here, for anyone that is in the school field, whether it's at your school or here at church, to pray for them so that we have a wonderful week. And also, at the end, I have backpack tags for y'all to put on your backpacks that says, I'm going to have an A-plus year, because we want you to have a fantastic school year, all right? So let's pray. Dear God, at the beginning of a new school year, we give you and we thank you for wisdom. We offer thanks and praise for the gift of new beginnings and for the opportunity to learn and to wonder. We pray for teachers, for students, for administration, for staff, that this year might be rewarding for all. Be with us as we face the challenges of new tasks, the fear of failure, and the expectations of parents, friends, and self. In our learning and our teaching, may we grow in service to others and to love and in love for your world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
As we prepare to go to God in prayer, I invite you to look in the bulletin for any prayer requests that have been mentioned. There are a couple in there, I know, and I know many other needs that are not printed in there. Will you pray with me? Father, so often we miss you simply because we aren't paying attention and we don't take the time to focus more on your presence. Father, help us to see you in the hearts of everyday people that we see each and every day. We confess, God, that we have judged others often without even noticing that we did it. Too often it becomes second nature for us to judge others and to seek to repent, to toss that mentality aside. But please help us to put on the clothing of grace, to help us to treat others with kindness and mercy. Help us to remember that we are all your children. And Father, for the forgiveness that you give us, help us to not belittle others or to mock them because they are different than us. But help us, Father, to remember to share the love that you give us each and every day. And now we pray the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Next week will be our Stone Soup Mission at Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church, where we will serve a meal to our homeless brothers and sisters. We will meet at 2 p.m. as we share love and food with others, and we are also collecting funds for the flooding victims of Louisiana. If you would like to give money to that, please designate your cash or your check in the memo line or on the envelope, UMCOR, and we will make sure that it gets where it goes. Please pray with me. Lord, may we become more faithful disciples to you, and as people who give from our hearts, Father, may us remember the generosity that you gave and help us to in turn share that generosity so that we can continue to create a ripple throughout our society and also through our world. Help us to be less self-focused and more globally focused for you, and may we share the privilege of being part of the kingdom of God. Amen. you will, please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, which is found on page 349, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. The choir will sing through it once, and then we as the congregation will sing through it twice.
Amen. Please be seated. Aren't you glad the rain is gone? Hallelujah. Maybe the sun will come out one day. And we now turn to our scripture passage, which comes to us from the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds, in a fresh and new way. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Once again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. And from now on, do not sin again." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Robert Cox, a guy that I grew up with at school from elementary age all through high school. Robert was judged constantly, oftentimes viciously, and often wondered why. Why it was him in particular that was judged so often. Now, Robert was a little loud, and Robert was a little different, and Robert had his own mental challenges. And he always seemed to stand out, and for many folks, I'm sure, was quite the easy target. But why is it that they would judge him? Just by his appearance, just by the way he acted? Perhaps it was them all along, those who felt vulnerable about their own lives and wanted to judge and ridicule so that they could build themselves up, so that they could seem stronger, superior. To judge almost means to be human. We have all been judged, and we've all done our share of judging, no doubt. Now, some of us want to believe that we judge the right way, that we judge the people who hurt others, that we judge those that would manipulate, that we judge those who judge. But that's really just a fraction of our judging, isn't it? I mean, do we go a day without that judgmental tendency rearing its ugly head? Perhaps it's with the waiter or the waitress who doesn't get the food right. Perhaps it's the slow driver in front of you or the fast driver going around you dangerously. Or perhaps it's me when I'm on a long-distance road trip and I start to judge the construction crews for narrowing it to one lane. We judge all the time. A couple weeks ago, I judged pretty harshly. Jana and I were running, literally running for our gate to make our connection from Atlanta to London. We had been delayed in Little Rock because an airplane had to come in single engine into the Atlanta airport, and so it delayed everybody. And so when we're sitting on the tarmac, we're guessing we're going to be late, so we start to make plans on our iPhone to change a flight to later. But we never got confirmation of that flight. Never got confirmation that we were on it, and so we just figured that maybe we're not. And as luck would have it, we arrived just enough time that if we really pushed it, we could make it. And it's like in the movies. Literally, the gate door shut as we just arrived. And I started begging this woman. Please, we're on this flight. Please, please let us on. And she was rude, dismissive, not very hospitable. And for the next several hours, I judged her in my mind. But that was wrong. See, we as Christians, we are to have the mind of Christ in those situations. We're to cast aside the judgments and instead lift up instead of tear down. This passage in the book of John is iconic. And what you may not know is some scholars argue if it was in the original transcribing of the book of John, that it might have been a plant later on, or at the very least was not supposed to be in this spot but somewhere else in the book of John. Regardless, I'm so thankful it is in this book. It's so powerful. And not only does it give us an eye and a glance at what life was like back then, but it also questions how we respond to people we want to judge and condemn. Now, as we look at this story, and my brother Bob pointed it out and did it for me earlier this morning, one of the questions we come away with is, what is he drawing or writing in the dirt? I'm sure scholars throughout the centuries have scratched their minds. What is it that he's writing in the dirt on two different occasions in this story? And for me, I don't think it matters. I think that the point of him writing in the dirt is to practice some patience, to allow this angry mob to settle, be distracted, and unsure of where to go next. This angry mob is ready not only to judge, not only to condemn, but to execute. And lots of times we want to distance ourselves from that reality. This woman almost didn't make it out of this situation alive. The mind of Christ is shared with us through the act of patience, through the act of sharing forgiveness. And the most powerful words that come to my mind in this passage, neither do I condemn you. Imagine Jesus saying that to you. Neither do I condemn you. Instead, he offers life-giving words, freeing words, to release those in captivity, to give sight to the blind, to help those that can't walk to walk again. He's freeing. And he's freeing us. This passage relates to us more than we know, because we often think, oh, well, they were about to execute this woman, but we don't do that. But we need to think carefully about how we do that. When we ostracize someone through our judgments, we are stripping them of their humanity. We are robbing them of their child of God status. We say with our judgments, they are worthless, and in our perspective, they are not in our world. They might as well be dead. And when we ostracize others in that way, how does that communicate to the person being ostracized? They themselves feel ostracized against themselves. Their self-esteem is attacked, and they feel alone. Like I'm sure many times Robert Cox felt alone. Like I'm sure this woman who is at this angry mob felt alone until Jesus comforted her. Until Jesus gave her new life. Until Jesus gave her affirming and life-giving words. Our young people are in the midst of crises. That judgment, let's face it, it's called bullying. And I think we all know that a lot of times the words hurt more than the fists. And there are countless young people who have felt alone because of those judgments, gossip and lies, and tragically it's led to them taking their own life. That is not who we are as people of faith. And we know in the adult world, it doesn't end after high school. There's bullying and gossip and judgments and harsh opinions given. So the question is, how will we respond? How will we allow the mind of Christ to be communicated into our very soul? It starts by analyzing who we are. Take a moment and think back to the last 2 or 3 days. And go through it by photograph. Kind of thinking of the different images that happened over the weekend. And then list all those that you judged. All those we judged. And we are to ask for forgiveness. We were to go to God for new life. And Jesus Christ says, neither do I condemn you. If Jesus Christ does not believe in condemning others, how can we believe we have the authority to do so? Having the mind of Christ within us, it's about sharing in love and mercy and forgiveness and not tearing down. Not using words that lead to death, but words that build up to life anew. We are people of hope and not despair. We are people of resurrection and not death. So what will you do to counter the temptation of judgment that is within us, all? Each and every moment, we must seek to act like Christ does in this story. Not condemning. And I know, when two people start sharing about judgments of another, it makes it that much easier to join in. But Jesus stood up for this woman. Jesus saved this woman's life, literally. So how will we go about our lives and save others? Be a teammate and a partner with someone who's looked at as different, who's judged at school or work. Our society has done enough judging, wouldn't you agree? In this election cycle, it's all about the judgment, isn't it? But God has empowered us to say no, and to do different, to share in love and give forgiveness and refuse to judge. So may you grab hold of that Holy Spirit that is already with you and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the power and the ability to lift up, to share, to give, and to release from captivity those trapped in judgment. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing hymn, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, 381. there are those who'd like to come forward to have some time of prayer at our prayer rail or join the life of our church or reaffirm your faith, we welcome you forward at this time. Neither do I condemn you, says Jesus our Lord. You have been given new life in Christ. So go forth and share that life in loving others and don't waste it away. We've got so much time in this world with giving and sharing. Let us not waste it by being hurtful, but by loving. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.